Our ancestors' diets were rich in the essential vitamins, minerals, and phytonutrients needed for optimal function. But today, thanks to declining soil quality, a growing toxic burden, and other challenges in the modern world, most of us are not getting enough of these critical nutrients. That's why I created Adapt Naturals. It's a supplement line that closes the modern nutrient gap so you can feel and perform your best. Unlike most supplements that contain cheap synthetic compounds your body can't absorb, we use clinician-grade, bioavailable ingredients that make a real and noticeable difference. I've translated 15 years of experience treating hundreds of patients and training over 3,000 healthcare providers into a supplement line you can trust. No BS or hype, just high-quality, research-backed, clinically validated products that get results. Our supplements are made without gluten or GMOs. They're also third-party tested to validate ingredients and confirm they're free of heavy metals and other toxins. We have a full range of products, from the most advanced multivitamin and phytonutrient formula on the market to a blend of 8 organic superfood mushrooms, including reishi, chaga, and cordyceps, to a one-of-a-kind fish oil with bioavailable forms of curcumin and black seed oil. Our newest product is Luminous Mind, a blend of 7 nootropic compounds that boost cognitive function and elevate mood, including citicoline, UMP, bacopa, ginkgo, and lion's mane mushroom. These nootropic ingredients improve focus, memory, and attention, boost motivation and mood, and promote emotional and psychological resilience. They do this without the jitteriness, agitation, and sleep disturbances that often accompany caffeine. They also support brain health by protecting neurons, promoting neuroplasticity, and even regenerating new brain cells. Luminous Mind's a perfect fit for students, knowledge workers, entrepreneurs, creators, artists, people under mental or emotional stress, and those struggling with cognitive issues, low mood, and difficulty focusing and concentrating. I think of it as an unfair advantage that can help you achieve your goals, whatever they may be. Head to AdaptNaturals.com to learn more and start living the life you want to live. Hey everyone, Chris Kresser here. Welcome to another episode of Revolution Health Radio. This week, I'm really excited to welcome Jason Kalipa as my guest. He's the founder and CEO of NC Fit Gyms and Train Hard Online Training. He's a CrossFit Games champion and a 3-time Team USA CrossFit member. He's also a pediatric cancer advocate after his daughter was diagnosed with leukemia in 2016, host of the Jason Kalipa podcast, author of As Many Reps as Possible, and a Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu brown belt. This was a fascinating conversation. We covered everything from how Jason got started in training, how his training has evolved over time as his goals have shifted, how he juggles being a dad and husband and business owner during intense training times as a professional athlete, how he approaches programming for others, both in his in-person gym and with his training app, and tips for newcomers, people who are just starting fitness routines, and tips for staying motivated and avoiding burnout. I really enjoyed the conversation. I hope you do too. Let's dive in. Jason, pleasure to have you on the show. I've been really looking forward to this.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I always love to start with people's background, like how, you know, you've had some pretty remarkable accomplishments in your life, CrossFit Games champion, 3-time Team USA CrossFit member, and building incredible business, helping people to train and really become a better version of themselves. But how did you get here? How did this all start for you?
Yeah, I mean, I was introduced to fitness at a really young age. So I was 15. I started working at the front desk of a health club. When I graduated from high school and I got into college, you really wanted to pursue, I was really inspired at that time about making money. And so I was introduced to sales. And so I started selling gym memberships when I was like, I don't know, a freshman in college. So whatever that made me, 17, 18 years old. I sold gym memberships throughout my entire college career. And at the time, I knew I wanted to open up a gym. It was just like I was destined for it. I had been meeting with the owner of the gym. I had been learning a lot about business and sales. And then I found CrossFit when I was like maybe a junior in college. Really fell in love with the idea of a coach, a community, and complexity, like learning new skills. So I opened up a CrossFit gym right out of college. I ended up winning the CrossFit Games. And for the next long time, for a long time, from 2008, for about 10 years, I competed professionally in the sport of CrossFit. I also taught seminars for CrossFit. I opened gyms globally with our business, NC Fit, at the time. And then In 2016, I pivoted away from the sport. My daughter got sick, so I decided to stop competing there professionally, and I found jiu-jitsu. And so since then, I've been exploring jiu-jitsu, running the business. I have two children, and about 4 months ago, we launched an online program we've really been passionate about, which kind of brings together everything I've learned in the fitness space underneath the Train Hard umbrella. So that's kind of the synopsis, you know? I'm just a fitness guy who cares about his kids and family.
Nice. Yeah, we'll come back to Train Hard. I want to ask you a little bit more about that, but I want to dive in a little bit more to, you went from, I discovered CrossFit in college and then I won the CrossFit Games. I imagine there's a lot of work between those two milestones, and it's a competitive sport at this point. So I'm just curious, what was instrumental for you in taking you from, being new to CrossFit to winning the CrossFit Games? What were the things that made the biggest difference for you in your training, your regimen, your mindset, whatever it was that you attribute most to achieving that
goal? I mean, I'd say back then it was just luck. It was, 45 minutes away from my house was the first original CrossFit Games. I had great coaches and I was just ahead of the game at that time. Competing then for the next 10 years, I watched the sport blow up and grow. And I was very fortunate to be at the top of the sport for a long time. And that, you started really working with mindset coaches, exploring new coaches and, spending hours and hours and hours a day training. But in the beginning, it wasn't like that. In the beginning, it was very raw. And I attribute a lot of that early success just to being in the right place at the right time and putting in hard work and having this kind of mental grit to get through it. But as the years went on and the competitors got smarter and the competition got greater, you had to level up. And a lot of that happened between the ears. But then a lot of that also just happened physically, breaking up your sessions into three, morning, afternoon, evening sessions, really being aware of your recovery. All of those things became really important to me.
Mm-hmm. So what are, now that you're on the other side of it, coaching and programming, what are some of the basic things that are most important to you when you're working with someone who's starting out and wants to get into CrossFit? And then maybe can also share some of the biggest mistakes that you see people making when they're training.
I mean, going too hard, too quick. I mean, the biggest mistake I've seen this since I was 16 years old at the health club, was people coming in at New Year's. And we'd see the parking lot just packed, and by March it'd be empty. And it's because people come in and they don't realize, like, they need time to develop these new habits and to make it a part of their routine. So they come in and they want to go 0 to 100, 5 days a week, eating paleo, all this stuff. And they're gung-ho for a couple weeks and they burn off. And so the initial recommendation I'd have is, like, earn your confidence. Start off and say, hey, this week I'm going to do 2 times this week. I'm going to go out for a walk. Then the next week, try and do a little bit more. And then say, okay, for the next month, I'm going to try and do 3 training sessions a week. And if I earn the right to do that, like if I earn after a month that I'm doing 3 days a week consistently, then I've earned the right to unlock a 4th day as an example. But what isn't the right way to do it is not earning it and just saying, I'm going to do it. But then the problem is your mind and your body aren't connected. Your mind is saying, let's go do it. But then all of a sudden, your body gets fatigued. You start realizing, like, you don't prioritize as much. Instead, just prioritize it twice a week and then start building on that. I think that's my biggest takeaway for new people coming in. Now, from a training modality perspective, my training's really changed from trying to be the fittest on earth to now trying to train hard so I could protect and provide for my family. And those are really important key pillars for me. Like, I don't necessarily care about winning the CrossFit Games. I mean, I just don't care at this point. It's not a goal of mine. My goal is to be able to run, jump, climb, lift, do whatever I need to physically to protect myself and my family, including if I need to, self-defense and other means. But at the cornerstone of that is being able to breathe and have the fitness. Like, if you don't have that, you're screwed. And the second piece I'm really inspired by, and I think everybody should think about this one, is like providing. And a lot of times when you think about providing, it's financially, and I think there's definitely something to that for sure. But I think about providing experiences. My son's going to get home from school today. He's going to say, Dad, let's go do this. And I don't know, do you have children?
I do.
They do the same thing?
Daughter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, she's very active.
Now imagine if your daughter came to you and was like, hey, Dad, let's go play volleyball. And you're like, dude, you're like, man, I'm so tired. I can't do it. I always want to be able to provide for my children experiences, whether that's, whatever it might be. And so my fitness goals have evolved to reflect that, meaning I need to train hard so I could protect and so I could always be able to provide experiences and never be in a situation where my fitness inhibits my ability to do so.
Hmm. Yeah, I love that. I mean, I've heard the term functional fitness used sometimes, which to me has a similar connotation. It's your fitness is to achieve some kind of function, whether that's protecting, like you said, providing for your family, being able to play with your kids or grandkids or great grandkids as you get older, being like a fully functional human being rather than in your case, at this point, at least competing in CrossFit games or something like that. And I mean, I would imagine that's probably the goal of most people who come to the gym or come to see you. Only a small percentage of people are going to get to the point where they're competing.
That's right.
At a high level and want to do that. So how has that changed your training and your approach to programming? Like what did your training look like before and what does it look like now, given the shift in your goals?
I'd say in before, obviously your goal is to be the fittest on earth. So you start thinking about, okay, well, what's going to be incorporated? Long events, short events, heavy events, this event. And you have to train across those modalities, right? And you have to train at volumes that are conducive to you hitting a week's worth of events. And, you know, you're talking 20 events in a week. Well, you got to make sure that you're not so fatigued you can't come back and do another event later in the day. So volume becomes a really big factor in recovery. Nowadays, my training is not three times a day. Nowadays, my training is more revolved around what can I do in the morning to set myself up to feel the way I want to feel. That's something I think about. Like, what can I do this morning to do the things I know I need to do to feel the way I want to feel? So that could be sauna, cold plunge, cardio, whatever. Like, do something, go for a walk. And then later in the day, I get my training. And so I just finished a really hard workout now, right before I recorded with you. I like doing that because it gives me good mental clarity, especially when I'm talking to someone like right after. And then later today, I'll go do jujitsu. That's typically what my day looks like. I follow our Train Hard app probably 5-6 days a week. I go for long rucks one day a week. And then I train jujitsu 3 days a week in addition to.
Nice. It sounds like a full training routine. I know you mentioned you're a father, two kids, you've got a business, you're doing a lot. What works for you in terms of juggling all those different commitments?
Well, I mean, one thing's for sure, like I have to admit, like I have an advantage over most people listening that this is what I do as a profession. So right now I'm in one of our gyms. I have a full-blown gym in my garage. Like that definitely benefits me in terms of time constraints for sure. So I want to acknowledge that. But I prioritize my fitness. I know for me to show up the best I can for my kids and my wife, I have to get after it. So if that means waking up at 5 when I'm traveling and on vacation with my family, that's what I do because I know I'm a better dad. I'm a better husband if I train. And so with that in mind, like if that's like let's just say that's like that's your vantage point. Like my philosophy is that I know I show up the best after I've worked out. Well, then that changes the way I look at everything when it comes to my family, in that I know that I need to prioritize my fitness first, not only so I can be healthy and all that kind of stuff, but also just that mentally clear and in a positive state of mind. And so with that, that's the cornerstone of how I look at my training, is like, I know I'm the best when I do it. So if that means that my kids have events, like my son had baseball yesterday on a Sunday at 8 a.m. or the day before, and I knew that I had to wake up at 5:30 on a Sunday to make sure I trained so I showed up the best I could for him and my family for the rest of the day because I knew there wouldn't be time. So that's the way I look at it now versus before, where my training would take priority. Now it's my training takes priority as long as it doesn't impact my family. So I need to work around them.
Yeah, that's largely how I look at it too. And we're similar in the sense that it's kind of a non-negotiable. I have to be active. If I'm not, I'm like you said, not going to be the parent that I want to be, the husband, the friend, the person at work that I want to be. And so I just have to find ways. I mean, there's a lot of other things that I cut out of my life that in order to make time for those priorities. So what are some of those things for you that you've let go of or cut out of your life in order to be disciplined about that commitment?
Well, I mean, you got to figure, I've been doing this for, you know, my wife and I met when we were 14. I've been in the gym since I was 16. So this has been a part of my life for as long as I can remember. That being said, you have to cut out, like, for lack of a better term, like some of like the bullshit, meaning like, I'll give you an example. Every weekend I host men's club events every weekend. On Saturday or Sunday, I get 40, 50, 60 guys to just go do hard stuff outside. That's what we do. And it's free. It's available to anybody, any guy in the Bay Area. I just want to be able to try and make an impact on them. Well, if that's my mindset, that I know that on yesterday, for example, we did a workout at 6:30 on Sunday, right? This was early before all the baseball stuff happened. And I know that if I planned on getting all these guys out there, that I can't go out and drink that much on Saturday night. And so what it does is starts prioritizing my overall health and wellness, because now typically we do this on Saturdays. This time we did it on Sunday because actually the baseball was on Saturday. I apologize. And when you're going out on Friday night, you're thinking, okay, I got to get to bed by, I don't know, 10, 11 o'clock, because I know I need to get up at 5 or whatever to get ready to bring the sandbags to do these different things. And so that's what I've cut out. I've cut out like the super long nights, the excessive drinking. And in hindsight, like I definitely drink, I definitely go out, I definitely try and have balance in my life, but it's not the excessive side that maybe some people would have.
I'm so excited to announce the latest product I formulated for my supplement line, Adapt Naturals. Luminous Mind is a blend of 7 nootropic compounds that boost cognitive function and elevate mood, including phosphatidylserine, bacopa, ginkgo, lion's mane, and more. Nootropics are substances that improve focus, memory, and attention, boost motivation and mood, and promote emotional and psychological resilience. They also support brain health by protecting neurons, promoting neuroplasticity, and even regenerating new brain cells. I spent over 2 years researching, developing, and testing this product. One of our early testers described the experience of taking it as turning the lights back on. She felt clear-headed, focused, and alert, yet calm and grounded without the jitteriness or crashes of caffeine. She also said her mood was brighter and she felt uplifted and enlivened. This was the inspiration for calling it Luminous Mind. I designed this supplement for anyone who wants to boost their cognitive function, creativity, and mood, and support and protect their brain health. It's a perfect fit for students, knowledge workers, entrepreneurs, creators, artists, people under mental or emotional stress, and those struggling with cognitive issues, low mood, and difficulty focusing and concentrating. Think of it as an unfair advantage that can help you achieve your goals, whatever they may be. Visit AdaptNaturals.com to learn more about Luminous Mind and place your first order. I struggled. I got into this work that I'm doing now because I had a very serious chronic illness that I recovered from, and that really shaped who I am personally and professionally. And I believe that, like you said, you know, when we face adversity, we don't have control over that, but we do have control over how we respond to it. And that's the only thing actually that we have control over. So I'd love to chat about that, but I want to hear a little bit more about Train Hard and then how you approach programming. I know you have an in-person gym and then you have the Train Hard with multiple programming. So tell me a little bit more about your approach to programming at this point, with your in-person gym and with Train Hard.
Well, at the in-person gym, because we have coaches, it's a little bit different. So we could have more complex skills like snatching and rope climbing and muscle-upping. But for our Train Hard online program, for people in their garages and for just people that want to train, protect, provide, a lot of those people don't need to be doing heavy snatching and rope climbing and muscle-upping. And so my philosophy on programming has shifted over the years. In the gyms, we still provide the complexity for those people that want it because we have coaches who are there to support them if they want that. But for online, we have 3 programs. One that's called Force, which is just really good strength conditioning, like pull, push, squat, plus Metcons. We have one called Flex, which is more of a functional bodybuilding. And we have one called EMOM, which is just an EMOM 20, 30 minute a day, every minute on the minute program, and it's badass. So that's what we have for the end user. In the gym, it's more of like your traditional CrossFit because we have the coaches available. And I think where I've evolved is like, I first got inspired by the complexity. Like I wanted to learn a muscle up. I wanted to learn a handstand pushup. I wanted to learn these skills. But you know, those skills, if you desire them, are very valuable. But if you just want them from like purely from a fitness perspective, I think you could do a lot of different things that could impact your fitness in a much, if you desire to do a muscle up, that's great. If you don't desire to, then all you need to be working on is strength and conditioning. Pull, push, squat, and get your heart rate elevated and hit 12 to 20 minute workouts. And that's really what Train Hard is about. And we leave out some of the complexity. You can get that through other areas or finding a coach in a gym.
Right. That makes sense. And what kind of equipment does somebody need for each of those different levels of the program?
Yeah, I mean, I think like, you know, obviously I have a full garage gym. If you just want the dumbbell program, we have just a dumbbell EMOM program that's just dumbbells. And that's great. I'd say that if someone was at home, I'd start off with dumbbells. From there, I'd probably try and invest into a rack, like a with a pull-up bar if you can, to get that pulling position, right? And then I'd start getting a barbell with some bumper plates or weights in general, so you load it up. And then I'd probably start diving into some type of cardio tool, but in the beginning, you could just run. So for us, we have, you would need a rack, a barbell, a set of dumbbells, and some type of cardio. If you could just run, that's great. But if you can get like an air bike, I think that's a really good option.
What are your favorite air bikes at this point?
Man, that's a good question. So there's a lot of different bikes available out there, right? My probably... Yeah,
it seems like there's a ton of brands now. There was just a few before.
I'd say like bang for the buck. Rogue has one now for like $890, the Echo bike. I think it's built tough and it's the cheapest. Although I like the Assault bikes a lot. I love the Assault bikes. I also really love the C2 bike, but that's a different stimulus than an Echo bike. I'd start off with like an Echo or Assault bike and then later on invest in like a C2 bike.
Yeah, I've got a Rogue rack and gym in my garage as well. I love their stuff. And the Echo bike seems like a good happy medium, you know, for most people.
For sure. For sure.
Yeah. And talk a little bit more about the difference between the programs, like who might choose what program, based on what their goals are and what their background is. Like if they're relatively new versus someone who's been training a little bit more.
Well, I mean, I think that if you're in the Bay Area, you should stop by one of our gyms underneath the NC Fit umbrella. But if you're not, the Train Hard app has the Force program, which is really designed for someone that wants to like act the part, like fundamental strength conditioning. And you need a decent amount of gear, a little bit, right? But it's really designed to like help you run, jump, climb, lift, be fit, like just show up. Whereas Flex is really designed to help you look the part. So it's definitely more linear progressions. It's definitely more functional. It's definitely more bodybuilding style versus Force. And if you are brand new to the game, I would just do the EMOM every minute on the minute. That's probably my favorite way to train. It gives you a minute by minute goal that you could shoot towards. And especially if you just do a dumbbell program, it's a piece of cake. It's low gear, highly impactful, and will just give you a great stimulus.
That sounds great. It sounds like people can progress easily through the levels. Like if you start with EMOM, then you can move to Force
if you have limited time, just hit EMOM. Like our whole model is like never let momentum get to zero. So you never want to take a day that's zero. You need to always get something. And so if that's your EMOM, great. If that's something else, go for it.
Right. So you can actually, is it the sort of thing where you sign up for Train Hard and you can move between the programs, or
yeah,
do you sign up for one program at a time?
No. I mean, they're designed to be like on their own, like, you know, tracks. But like for me, I just like, I look at a workout, get inspired, fired up, I hit it. And it's a little bit more intuitive for me. That's the way I like to do it. But for other people, they might want to just stick with the program.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. What about people who are relatively new and, you know, like tips for staying motivated? We mentioned before that one of the biggest mistakes people make is overcommitting. And then that generally just leads to burnout and stopping, you know, like I'm going to hit it super hard. Then they do for 3 days, 5 days, 2 weeks, whatever. And then that's it. You know, that you mentioned the phenomenon of the full parking lot in January and the empty parking lot in March in the gyms, which is well known. So what's a better approach for someone who's starting out to increase the chances that they'll still be at this, you know, 6, 9, 12 months later?
I was trying to think of a good analogy, but I think for anyone who's listening, who's interested in changing their life fitness wise, they have to, at the cornerstone, rely on a why. Like, why do they want to make this change in the first place? Like, you know, why? Why does it matter to you? And let's just say it's like, well, I want 6-pack abs. Like, okay, well, that's not going to come quick and it's not going to come easy. So you have to have a strong why, first and foremost. Like, I want to be able to be there for my kids. I want to be able to, you know, be there for my grandkids. I want to, like, whatever that is, you should write that on a piece of paper, put it on your mirror, whatever you got to do, because you have to remind yourself on a daily basis why it's important for you to change your habits. Because these habits have been a part of your lifestyle for decades, maybe. And you've been drinking soda, eating like shit, and not training for 30 years. You're not going to just switch tomorrow. And that's okay. It's actually a good thing if you don't switch tomorrow. So what you should do is just pick something. Pick something simple. Let's just say it's removing soda out of your diet, something simple, and switching it out for carbonated water. Or start off by saying, hey, every day I'm going to walk for 10 minutes a day. But you, whoever is listening to this right now, who has not been training hard for many years, pick something you feel like is a no-brainer piece of cake. 10 times out of 10, you're going to get it. And then from there, start building on that and stacking habits would be the example. And everybody's gonna be different, right? For someone who's like, maybe like right now working out twice a week consistently for the last 20 years, but wants to ramp it up. Well, that's different than the person that's been sedentary who wants to ramp it up. So each person needs to pick something they feel like is going to be a little bit better than where they're at today, but that they know they could do. Then do that for like a month. And then you now have had that new thing where you say, okay, well, I've already been doing it two days a week. Like, I could easily ramp up to 3 days. And then you go from there. That'd be my recommendation. You want to get wins, and you want to get wins early. And the problem with fitness is that, especially if it's like aesthetic looks, especially for women, men, you know, they have it a little bit easier to kind of like lean out or get to whatever they want to do. But for women and men, I should say, like, it's hard to see results immediately. But what you can see immediate results are is you made a commitment to walk every day and you're doing it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's important to set realistic goals and know what you can expect during that initial period of time. Like you said, if you experience wins, that's going to build momentum, and then that leads to more wins. You build more momentum, and that's kind of a basic coaching principle we train health coaches, and that's one of the biggest things is shrink the change. You know, like, big changes are a series of many small changes along the way.
Exactly.
Really helping people to understand that.
Well, and if you had asked me when I was, you know, 21, I started the business, or 22, I didn't really understand that. But now, as I've matured, I've gotten older, I've met with thousands and thousands of people in person and online, I've realized, like, I'm doing them a disservice by trying to go too hard, too fast. Shame on me for allowing them to do that, because I've just witnessed countless times them failing. And as a health provider, as a fitness provider, we need to recognize that. Like, our duty is to change lives. Our duty is to make an impact. You're not doing anything if you allow them to go too hard, too fast, because the likelihood of them burning out is like 95%.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. So, speaking of burnout, what happens when someone does reach burnout? For any number of reasons, they've just hit a brick wall and they've lost kind of motivation. Maybe that's happened to you at some point. What's usually the best way for helping people to get refocused in that situation?
I mean, this is going to sound super lame, but it's reflecting back on your why. Like, you know, when you're competing at the CrossFit Games, it's super challenging and the events are grueling. And if your why is like, oh, I want to make an extra 100 grand, 200 grand, 500 grand. I want to make money. I want to be famous. When things get really hard, and they will, like, you're just going to fold. And you have to have a stronger why when you're competing, but you also have a stronger why when you're looking at your fitness and health goals. And when you do burn out, taking a deep breath and being like, dude, what am I doing this for in the first place? Okay, well, maybe I need to level set my expectations. Maybe my expectations, if my goal is to be, you know, a super fit grandpa. Well, maybe I don't need to train 7 days a week for 2 hours a day. Maybe I just need to train 5 days a week for 45 minutes a day, and I'm still going to be fitter than 99% of the grandpas out there. And so recalibrating your goals and aligning that with your training, that's the key, in my opinion, to avoiding burnout. Because honestly, and here's another thing too, like once you've kind of like built up, I was talking about this the other day with, I don't know if you know who Thomas DeLauer is, but I was talking to him the other day and we were talking about this roller coaster effect. When you are new into fitness, you are like, it's like a roller coaster climbing up. It's like tick, tick, tick. It's hard. Like you're building strength, you're building conditioning. It's hard work. Like maybe you got into it in your 20s, 30s, whatever. But once you hit like a certain point, you could kind of like coast a little bit and still maintain a lot of the muscle and conditioning you have if you put in all that hard work. So motivate yourself today when you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s to build up that hedge, because it's going to be a lot easier to maintain that on that roller coaster, just kind of keep cruising, than it would be to try and climb back up again, you know, is kind of the theory.
Yeah, I like that. That makes sense. Earlier on, you mentioned your daughter was diagnosed with leukemia back in 2016. And I know that that had, you know, for any parent, that's a monumental change in life. And how did that impact you as a person, your focus, and how you live your life at this point?
Oh man, I mean, that changed my life. It changed all of our lives, and it still is affecting us today. You know, she's still going through some tough stuff today, especially with mental health and what's going on. And this, you know, it's just, man, it changed my perspective on a lot of things. Like I said, it still does today. I think it helped me and still does, to learn to be more compassionate, learn to be more understanding, learn that like, just when you think like you're convinced of something, like be careful how convinced you are of something, because you need to stay open-minded. Like I can't tell you the amount of things that I was convinced on 5 years ago that now I'm not quite so sure about. And I think that's important, like as you get older, to have perspective. And when you see sick kids, it definitely shifts your perspective. And so those are things that I think was good about it, right? It taught me a lot about family, about building my fitness and financial hedge so I could be there for my family. Taught me about what it means to have good relationships, because you need them. And then it also taught me about like what it means to, you know, build a great team at work, so that when or if you ever need to be prioritizing something else, you have other people that got your back to take care of things.
Yeah, it can be really be transformative experience, and it sounds like you've really allowed it to impact you in some meaningful ways. I know you're also a pediatric cancer advocate. You've put some energy into, you know, giving back and helping others who are going through the same type of experience. Tell us a little bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, my family and I, you know, I'd like to think that we're pretty blessed in the sense that when our daughter got sick, we had been embracing a work ethic, and where we had built a financial hedge, we had built a fitness hedge, and we had built a hedge in our relationships, and that played huge dividends for us. And soon after Ava got diagnosed, we said, hey, look, we need to be able to make an impact on other people. And so my wife started a foundation called Ava's Kitchen. We just hosted our 7th annual Ava's Kitchen, and she's been killing it. I think we have all raised $3.2 million, I think, at this point. And the goal of that is to put smiles on kids' faces. And we donate the money through an organization called Never Ever Give Up. And, you know, really for me, it's like, it's just reinstated this idea of like why I want to go build a successful business, why I want to be successful at what I'm doing. Is like, the more I make, the more we could go give. The more we do, the better we could show up for others. And I think that when you frame it in that way, like, you can't be generous to others if you don't have anything. So go out and bust your ass so that you could then go do really cool things for the people that you care about. That's my theory.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to approach it. And, you know, we were chatting a little bit before offline that we don't always have control over what happens to us, but the one thing we can control is how we respond to what happens to us. And it sounds like you've chosen to do that in a way that will not only benefit your family, but also your community and other people who are struggling with the same thing. Jason, this has been a fascinating conversation. Tell people where they can learn a little bit more about Train Hard, particularly those who are not in the Bay Area. And then those who are in the Bay Area, where they can find some of the NC Fit gyms.
Yeah, I mean, Mountain View and Campbell. We also have a location in Presidio that's if you're up in that area, but really it's Mountain View and Campbell in the Bay Area, and train hard. So visit th.fit. That's the website, as in trainhard.fit, but it's just th.fit. Kept it simple for you. Go check out the programs. You know, I think if you're looking to, you know, stay super fit, we have great programs for you, and we have a really cool group of people that can help advise you. So message us in, check us out on Instagram at trainhard.fit. You can also check out at Jason Kalipa on Instagram. We have a really cool newsletter that every week just keeps people fired up and inspired to train hard.
Great. Well, I really enjoyed the conversation, Jason. Good luck to you. And all the listeners, keep sending your questions, chriskresser.com/podcast question. We'll see you next time. That's the end of this episode of Revolution Health Radio. If you appreciate the show and want to help me create a healthier and happier world, please head over to iTunes and leave us a review. They really do make a difference. If you'd like to ask a question for me to answer on a future episode, you can do that at chriskresser.com/podcast question. You can also leave a suggestion for someone you'd like me to interview there. If you're on social media, you can follow me at twitter.com/chriskresser or facebook.com/chriskresserlac. I post a lot of articles and research that I do throughout the week there that never makes it to the blog or podcast, so it's a great way to stay abreast of the latest developments. Thanks so much for listening. Talk to you next time.